You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Hello, Koinonia Church. As I film this in this moment, we still don't have a president elect. We're still counting votes, as has become the tradition, it seems, in our country, as our nation is increasingly and continuously divided into two different camps that seem to be warring against one another. And just before I begin the message today, I just wanted to chat with you about that just for a moment. It could be that as you're listening to this, we have a president. It could be that we have lawsuits and we've got some time. And I just want to remind you that you are more than an American citizen. You're a citizen of heaven. And our first citizenship as followers of Christ is really that one. It's the eternal one. It's the one that matters. And the more divided our nation is, the more united we have to be as a church. And it's so critical that we remember that. I'm concerned, and I just want to caution and remind all of us that so often we have tended to swallow the poison pill of political rhetoric as if it was a solution to the spiritual ailment of sin and darkness that exists in our souls. And we've somehow decided that God is not in control. And we have forgotten that He can rule no matter who is president, and He can change the course of a nation in just a moment. And that is not dependent on who sits in the office of president or any other office for that matter, because God is sovereign over all things. And so maybe your candidate is not God's candidate. I just want to remind you of that. It could be that you think you know, but many times we don't know. It could be that your party is not God's party. It could be that your issue, that particular issue that is so important to you, is in fact not the most critical issue for God. The truth is what the scripture tells us is that God can use any king, any president, any leader, and that ultimately He's the one that puts them in office. He's the one that all authority flows from, and He is able to use anyone, no matter if there is an R behind their political party or a D behind their political party or anything else. So I just want to remind you that God is in control, and that you and I, as followers of Christ, the test for us is how we walk through this season. Are we going to allow who is in office or who's not in office or what's going on around us to cause us to have inner turmoil, to be angry, to be frustrated, to be hopeless? Or are we going to remember that ultimately God is on the throne and that we are people of hope who are offering to the world a message of life and of hope and of restoration? And if we're so obsessed with communicating any other message, then oftentimes we limit our ability to communicate that which is so critical and so important. And so I just say to you, peace be still. God is in control. He's on the move, and He's doing something bigger than often what we see, actually always what we see, because He is at work. And really that takes me to what we're talking about today. The series that we're in is called Kingdom Seeds. We've been talking about missions and outreach and how we're called as a people of God to be engaged in this project of reaching the world. It is the most critical and most important thing that we do is to share the message and the gospel of Jesus to all of the nations. That's more important than anything else that we can do in this life. And in this series a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Chad began by talking about the parable of the seed and the soil. He talked about how we're to receive the seed of life and prepare our hearts. And last week, missionary T.J. Tamayo talked about the process of growth and growing that the seed goes through. And today I want to end our series by talking about that there's a fruit that we are expecting that's the result of the seed and how we can be engaged in that process. And so I just want to begin by reading to you once again that text that we're using for this series, Matthew chapter 13. Beginning in verse 3. And so if you're following along, you can open up your Bible there. I want to encourage you to do that. If you're watching our service live, you can find on the YouVersion app under the Events tab our outline and our notes. And I would just love it if you would follow along with me. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 says this. He taught them, this is Jesus, He taught them many things by using stories, parables that would illustrate spiritual truths. parables that would illustrate spiritual truths. Now, this story that we're about to read is so rich with spiritual truths. Spiritual truths are deeper than natural truths. They're deeper than just the surface level. And to understand them actually requires our careful attention and willingness to go beyond the surface level. Jesus actually told his disciples, one of the reasons I'm telling these things in parables, in stories, is to kind of create a veil of protection for those who are not ready to hear the message. And if they were to hear it and understand it and reject it, it actually brings condemnation, brings guilt on them. And so he, by his grace, he's actually hidden these spiritual truths underneath the surface level of the parable, underneath the surface level of the story. And so what I want to talk to you about today is a spiritual truth that if we deeply embrace it, it can give meaning to our life. It really defines a purpose for our life that is beyond what we often see, certainly as Americans, what we often see is the purpose of our life, the American dream and getting those things that we want to get and the bigger house and the car and happiness and success. There's something that's deeper that Jesus is after here. But if we're going to see it, we're going to have to want to embrace it. We're going to have to go beyond the surface level. And so I'm going to talk to you today about investing for the long term, about that fruit that God wants us to be a part of, and that project that he's invited us into. But I want to make a disclaimer, and as Pastor Chad just said a few moments ago, we are going to talk about money today. Today is Pledge Weekend for our Missions Month, which we do every year. It's the time when we remind ourselves of the importance of the project that God's invested us in, invited us into, and then we kind of bring things to a conclusion by inviting people to make a commitment to give to this every month. And I don't know what your background is. I don't know what you think about the church and money, and you may think that the church is all about money, and I can understand that because oftentimes it feels like that's all we talk about. But I just want to tell you up front, at the end of this message, I'm going to invite you to give. I'm going to invite you to ask yourself and ask the Lord how you should be engaged in this. I'm going to ask you to commit yourself to investing in a way that doesn't make sense if you're only looking at it from a natural perspective. We're talking today here about a spiritual truth and a spiritual invitation. I just want to let you know, this is an invitation. This is not a pressure thing. What I'm hoping and praying is that in the next few minutes as we talk about this, it's going to be straight to your heart. It's going to be a spiritual thing and not just a natural thing. This is not a pressure. This is not an emotional thing. This is an invitation and a joy that we get to be involved in. So let me just continue that parable in Matthew chapter 13. It says, he taught them many things using stories, parables that illustrate spiritual truths, saying this, consider this, there was a farmer who went out to sow seeds. As he cast his seeds, some fell among the beaten path, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell onto gravel and had no topsoil. The seeds quickly shot up, but when the days grew hot, the sprouts were scorched and withered because they had insufficient roots. Other seeds fell among the thorns and weeds, so that when the seeds sprouted, so did the weeds, crowding out the good plants. But other seeds fell on good, rich soil that kept producing a good harvest. Some yielded 30, some 60, and some even 100 times as much as he planted. Now, in this story, we have three things. We have the sower, the seeds, and the soil. And if you're taking notes, I just want you to write these three things down in regards to the sower, the seeds, and the soil. And you may know this. If you're a student of the Scripture, you should already have this as part of your basic understanding of the Scripture. The first one is this, that the seed that Jesus is talking about is the gospel. That's the message. The seed is the message of the kingdom realm. Now, what's the message of the kingdom realm? Well, Jesus himself said it when he said in Luke chapter 4, verse 19, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. See, that's the seed. That's the kingdom message, that Jesus has come to set us free. Free from sin, free from ourselves, free from slavery. He has called us and invited us into the year of the Lord's favor. Now, if we accept this seed, we're living in an era of God's good grace that is flowing to us, the blessing of the Lord, once again reestablish relationship with the Father. Now, what I love about seeds, and you know this, that seeds under the right conditions, they just grow, right? You put seeds in the soil, you give them a little water, you give them a little sun, and suddenly they sprout up. And I know you've seen pictures, as I have, of seeds that have sprouted in unlikely places, trees and flowers that grow in the strangest of spots, right? In the rocks, in the crevices, in the cracks. Suddenly, because the right conditions have occurred, even in the most difficult of situations, they grow. I recall one time that I spilled some chia seeds in the sink at my house. Now, I'm not a chia seed fanatic. It just happened that that was there. I think probably one of my wife's strategies for health. And I didn't think about it. I spilled some seeds and I rinsed them down the drain. Well, it just so happened that they kind of stuck all there around the, and the next couple of days, all of a sudden there was a chia pet growing in my sink. And I realized, some seeds had the right condition and they sprouted up and they began to produce fruit. And the seed that we're talking about here in this parable that Jesus is reflecting on is the seed of the gospel that sprouts up even in the most difficult and unlikely places. It's a seed that's always good because his word and the message of the gospel is always good. It's always vibrant. It's always ready to sprout, and it always produces an eternal fruit. So that's the seed. The second part is the soil, right? The soil, you can write this down, the soil is the heart, right? That's reflective of our heart that receives the message of the gospel, receives the seed. Jesus speaks about four heart conditions, right? The path, which is that resistant condition that's not ready to receive the seed, the rocky soil that is a shallow faith that it's not allowed to go any deeper than just the surface. The weedy soil, that's a distracted soil, right? Our heart has so many different things pulling us in so many different directions, potentially, right? That really speaks to us and our culture and the many things that are around us. And then, of course, the rich soil. That's the soil that has, the rocks have been removed, the weeds have been removed, it has been tilled, it has been prepared, and the seed finds their place not only to sprout, but to grow and to give fruit. And this is based on the type of soil, sometimes 30 times, sometimes 60 times, sometimes 100 times what was originally planted. Now, the third thing that we see here, of course, is the sower. The sower is the message giver, right? The sower goes out, he says, to cast the seed. And in the ancient days, it wasn't quite the same way that we plant these days with aligned rows and perfectly spaced planting where every seed goes in exactly the right spot. In those days, there was much more casual where the sower would just go out and cast the seed wherever, which is why it would sometimes land on the path and why it would sometimes land on good soil and why it sometimes lands on the rocky soil. And the thing to remember about the sower, that the sower is simply faithful with the seed. The sower is going out to sow the message of the gospel. And the return that comes back is really dependent upon the Lord because it's his seed and it's how he's going to touch people's hearts. So remember where Paul says to the Corinthian church, he says, hey guys, listen, I planted the seed. So he's talking about that message of the kingdom realm that he planted in Corinth and some of the people's hearts responded and a church sprouted up. He says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. And so the sower casts the seed, but it's really God that's the ultimately one that makes it grow. Now this process, right, this engagement of sowing the seed is something that as a church, Koinonia has been engaged with since the very beginning of our church. Over 40 years ago when we were founded, we focused on sowing and sending. We recognized that there was a process that we needed to be engaged in of casting the seed out, not only here locally in our community, but to the entire world. And even from those early days, the first pastor and the elders said, we're going to set aside 10% of everything that comes in just in order to send it out, because we believe so critically in this invitation that we're going to actually put it financially on our books. And so from that day forward, we've been sowing and sending. And whether it's missions trips that we're sending people on, whether it's sending out missionaries to other parts of the world, where Koinonia is fortunate to have sent missionaries to live in Brazil and Jamaica and Mexico and Africa and in Asia and other parts of the world, Today, we support 10 international ministries, 8 local ministries. Every month, those ministries count on and can count on our check that's going to them to help support their work. 2 families who were formerly staff pastors are in the field today because we believe in this call that we have to send and to sow. And every month, $10,000 we've committed monthly because of your faithfulness, the church's faithfulness to give to missions. And we're able just to turn that around and send it right back out to those that need it, all of these organizations, all of these missionaries. Last year, I'm amazed, almost $300,000 flowed out of Koinonia to the world, which is just incredible. Every month, because of your faithfulness, every month because of our commitment to give, we feed people who are hungry, you know, widows, orphans, the homeless, both locally and globally. We're giving out and feeding those who need. We're visiting Syrian refugees who have been displaced by war, and they're living in Jordan and in other places, and we're sitting with them. You are sitting with them. You may not be sitting with them physically, but as you send resources, we're sitting with them. We're giving them jackets during the wintertime, and we're visiting with them and talking with them about how God loves them, and that the reason that we are sharing with them is because we believe that God loves each and every person. He desires to have a relationship with them. We're training the next generation of pastors in places like Ethiopia, Latin America, and India. And we're engaged in an amazing way because as we cast the seed, we see that God is faithful and He's building His church across the globe. Now, I just want you to write this down in your notes there. There's 2 projects that we're invited into. And all of us are at the same time both the soil and the sower. So we're talking about you and I right now. All of us are at the same time both the soil, that's our hearts, and we're the sower. Now look here at the Great Commission verse that oftentimes we quote whenever we talk about missions and the call to the world. And it's critical for us because it's Jesus speaking to His disciples. It's Jesus not speaking just to 3 or not just to 12. He's speaking to all of His disciples, to you and me today. And He leaves us with this calling, with this commission. Matthew chapter 28 says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely," He says, "I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Now here we see these 2 projects that I'm talking to you about. The first one is this: you have a personal project, you and I. Our personal project is to keep our heart. You and I are responsible for our heart, for how our heart is receptive and listening to what the Lord says. Now, for our heart, for this personal project, it's always about our next step of obedience. That's what it's about when it comes to you and me. The Lord is constantly inviting us into one next step of whether we're going to obey Him or not. Are we going to be holy as He is holy? Are we going to say no to the things that are calling us, but we know that our temptations are not good, and yes to Him? Are we going to give and to forgive, right? Give freely of our love, our attention, of our energy. Give forgiveness even when we don't want to give it. Are we going to trust and obey? It's always about that one next step of obedience that really for us and our hearts is critical. That's the personal project that we as followers of Christ have to continually and constantly be engaged in and keep working at. Now, if you're watching online right now, maybe in the chat, if you're engaged in that, I would just say online right now, just answer this question. What's your next step of obedience? I'm not talking about like you have to change your life. I'm just talking about that one next step. There's always a next step. There's always an invitation that the Lord gives us. The Holy Spirit's always whispering something to us. You know, you need to forgive your spouse. Oh, you need to say you're sorry. Or you need to stop doing that thing. Or you need to start doing this thing. I mean, what is your next step? That's a question certainly for all of us. And it gets very personal and it gets very specific. And it's always about that one next move that we have to make in obedience to the Lord. Now, that's our personal project, but there's also a second project that we see in the Great Commission, and that's the corporate project. That's the thing that we're all engaged in as followers of Christ, and that is to spread the word, to cast the seed. And this is about your next step of faithfulness. Whereas guarding your heart is about the next step of obedience, this is about our next step of faithfulness to obey the Lord in His call. See, this project that we're engaged in corporately is about us being constantly recognizing that we're about more than just ourselves. We're about going and giving, going and telling, inviting other people into this relationship with Christ. And we can be engaged in the project by actually sharing verbally the word and sharing the love of God with others personally. We can be involved in the project by supporting others who are doing that, by giving into resources and ways that we're feeding and clothing people and caring for them. So there's lots of different ways that we're engaged with this project. And it really comes down to, I would say, in this one aspect that I want to focus on, is this faithfulness that we have to do step by step by step. We have to be faithful in regards to everything that we have, right? Our time, our treasure, and our talents. And I want to talk to you specifically for the next few moments just about our finances. I told you I was going to talk about money. There's a couple of things I know about your finances and my finances. I know that you don't have as much as you want. Isn't that the truth? I know that what you do with what you have, whether it's a little or whether it's a lot, what you do with what you have is critical. So when we're talking about the corporate project, and we're talking specifically, narrowing it down to our resources of our finances. The reason we talk about money is because Jesus talked about money all the time. Jesus actually talked about money more than any other single subject, which is frightening. More than heaven or hell, Jesus talked about money. Why? Because money is tied up with our heart. We can't divide them out. Wherever our treasure is, he says, there our heart is also. And so we're talking about this project that God has invited us into. How could it not have to do with our physical resources, with the money that we have? And so we want to be engaged in planting the seed. We want to be engaged in planting the seed in the ground. And that really is an act of investment. It's an act of investing for the future, not for your future in terms of your natural retirement, but for your eternal future. And so I just want to, in these last few moments, talk to you about raising your investment IQ and building a kingdom portfolio. And I'm going to read this last section of scripture to you and just draw a couple of conclusions out of it I think will be helpful for you and inspirational for you in regards to this. So this passage I'm going to read to you, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and it's Paul, and he's speaking to the Corinthian church, and he's speaking to them about an offering that he received for another church. It was called the Macedonian church. And he's actually celebrating, commending, congratulating the Corinthian church because they really gave an offering and they did it well. And so this whole section of scripture is about being involved in a corporate project of building up and investing financially in the kingdom of God, which is why I think it's relevant for us. So let me just read it to you, because he uses the same terminology that we just read about the parable of the sower. And I think it's we'll make those connections almost immediately. So it starts in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is what he says. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Okay, so an extended passage there. Let me just break it down for you just very quickly. These some things I want you to know. The first one is this, that Paul says this, you have seed to sow. So Paul says, listen, all of us have seed that we have been given by God and that we get to choose what to do with it. He assumes that you and I, every follower of Christ, every person on the planet, that we have seed to invest, that we have to make a decision what we're going to do with the seed that we have. Now, he doesn't say everybody has a lot or everybody has a little. He just makes the assumption that we all have something. This seed, for me, represents capital. It's principal. If we were talking about investing Right, you have to have something to start with. You start with a little bit, and you have to invest it in that thing that you're trying to do. Maybe you're starting a business, or maybe you're putting in a retirement account, or you're investing in your friend's or your neighbor's new deal that they were going to make a lot of money on. The seed represents your time, your treasure, your talents, all the things that God has given you. And whether you have little or you have much, you have been given something to invest in this project that we're talking about. Now, the second thing he says is that you choose the amount that you invest, right? You choose the amount that you invest. He says you can sow abundantly. You can take and say, well, I'm actually going to give quite a lot of what I have. Or you can invest sparingly. He says, well, you know, you just kind of say, look, well, maybe I don't have that much. I'm just going to give just a little bit. But ultimately, the amount that we give is optional. It's assumed that we're going to invest. It's assumed that we're going to be a part of this. But really, how much we invest is completely optional. If you sow generously, then God's going to give you back generously. If you sow sparingly, we just spare just a couple. He says, well, you can expect that you'll just get a few back. The third thing is that you choose your attitude about giving. Remember, this is a spiritual principle. It's not just a natural one. We're not just talking about natural investments. We're talking about eternal spiritual investments. And so Paul says, listen, each one of you should give based on what you want in your heart to give. You've decided in your heart. And he says, be careful to give it, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So he says right here, we have to be careful the attitude with which we give. Now, I thought about this for a moment, and I thought about the different attitudes that we can have when it comes to our giving. Think about, for a moment, your taxes. Some of us will do anything that we can do to avoid our taxes, right? They call it tax evasion is what they do. We do anything we can to escape taxes. When it comes to giving, when we're talking about this principle of giving into the kingdom of God, and, you know, Paul says, listen, we're all involved in this. And so in one sense, we can view what we have in our call to give as like it's an expectation that the Lord has. In one sense, we can view it as a tax, like we have to give it. The Lord is saying, you have to give it. And we can have the sense of like, no, I don't like that. I'm going to avoid it. I'm going to escape it as much as I can. Or, you know, maybe we have the attitude of giving, but we do so begrudgingly. We know we have to. Ah, the Lord says, I've got to give. So I'm going to do my duty. But we kind of have an attitude in the way that we give. You can give willingly. I don't have any problem. Everything comes from the Lord. Every good gift, James says, comes down from the Father of lights. And so, yeah, I willingly give back to him what he has asked me to give. Another level, I think even higher than that, is to give joyfully, right? This is what Paul is talking about. You can give begrudgingly, you can give willingly, but when you give joyfully, there's something different that happens. You begin to release a sense of excitement, a sense of expectation. You're actually happy to give because the Lord has given to you first. And I think maybe there's even a further level when we're talking about this project that we're discussing even right now. The further level is that you can not only give joyfully, but you can give in an involved way, that you are actually seeking and looking to be involved in where you're sending your resources. So you can give joyfully, but not really, you know, just kind of trust that it's going. But there's that other level is you're giving, but you're like, I want to make sure that where I'm giving is in the right place, it's in the right soil, it's in the right people, that what is happening is being stewarded correctly. I want to go and see. I want to travel perhaps on a missionary journey, or I want to read about what's going on with the Koinonia missions or the things that I'm giving to, because I'm actually engaged at a higher level. So we get to choose our attitude. And I just want to call you to a higher place, a higher level of engagement, a higher level of joy in terms of our giving. And the fourth thing here is that you and I, as we give, we're promised a blessing. All right, Paul says, listen, God is able to give and bless you abundantly. So always, in all things, at all times, you're going to have everything that you need. You'll abound in every good work. And then in verse 9, it's so fascinating. In verse 9, then he quotes a psalm. He goes back to the Old Testament and he quotes a psalm that's all about the righteous, that is, the people of God. And he says, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, This is what righteous people do, people that are in alignment with God's heart. That's what righteousness is. We're doing what is right according to the Lord. He says, they have freely scattered the gifts to the poor. They give generously to the poor. And then their righteousness endures forever. Now, that's that eternal invitation. That's the eternal fruit that we're talking about. So righteous people, what do? They say, I've been given something, and I'm going to give it generously. And what God is going to do then is give an enduring blessing, enduring gift. And then in verse 10, he goes on, he just describes that gift a little bit more. He says, listen, now he who supplies seed to the sower, now who's that? That's God. He's the one that gives the seed. He will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. As you give of the seed, there's more that he's going to give back to us. He says, you're going to be enriched in every way. In every way, really? That's what he says, in every way. So that you, why are you going to be enriched? So you can buy more stuff? So you can get a bigger house? So we can buy another car? So we can, he says, you'll be enriched in every way. Why? So that you can be generous on every occasion. See, generosity is not only about giving to missions or giving to Koinonia Church or giving. Generosity is about in every way we live with a generous spirit. I'm going to give more grace. I'm going to give more forgiveness. I'm going to give more love. I'm going to give more of my stuff. I'm going to give more of myself. Why? Because God has given to me, and the more I give, the more he gives us back. Through your generosity, it's going to result in thanksgiving to God. Now, when we talk about missions, when we talk about giving to the world, it's really an invitation to be a part of this corporate project that God has invited us to be a part of from the very beginning. That we're investing in something that's worth investing in. And that's really where I want to end today. It's just simply with that invitation. In a few moments, Pastor Chad's going to talk to you about how you can be a part of the missions pledge and how you can give and the practicality of that. And he's going to probably hold up a card like this, which is our pledge card. And he's going to talk about our newsletter that gives all the details about our missionaries. But at the end of the day, I just want to not pressure you. I just want to invite you. We're engaged in a great project. And Koinonia Church, as a people, what we do is a result of the faithfulness of people like you who have caught a vision for a church in the Central Valley, in one of the counties that's considered one of the least in many ways in California, that every month we're engaged in planting churches. We're engaged in feeding people that are hungry. Right? We're engaged in going further, visiting the poor and the broken. That's something that you and I are a part of. And we can only do it if we do it together. We can only do it at higher levels if we're willing to go to another level in our giving. And so my invitation to you is simply that, to ask the Lord, Lord, how would you have me be engaged in this year? I'm amazed what God can do with faithful giving. You might look, and it's not really about how much, it's about always about a percentage of what you have. It's always about being generous with what you have. And I'm amazed with what $20 or $30 or $40 can do, given month after month after month. Or for some of us, it can be more than that. It'd be $100 or $200 or even larger than that. But faithful giving is a powerful tool in God's hands. And as you give towards this project and we are able to send that out into the world, we all say together, man, God, you're doing an amazing thing. And we're investing in something that's eternal. It's not just for this moment. It's something that lasts forever. And really, that's what it's about. When we're talking about an eternal investment, we're talking about a return on our investment that lasts into forever. It's not just for today. It's not just for tomorrow or next year. It's not just for our retirement years when we want to sit back and relax. It's for the time that never ends when we're going to be celebrated in heaven and we get to give each other high fives and say, God, how in the world could you take the little that we gave and do so much with it? It's because he is a great and powerful God.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click Give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.